Turn your Bibles to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And notice something in the first verse. Psalm 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Here's the problem. "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us with Your Holy Spirit. In order to do this work today, Father, we cannot do it without You. For You said, without Me, You can do nothing. Today, Father, we need the Spirit of God to fill the preacher so that the words that You have in the Scripture can be preached, illustrated, exhorted, expounded, magnified. Father, we pray that You'll magnify Your word above all Your name. Lord God, we need the Holy Spirit of God to teach us, our ears to be open, our minds to be attentive, our hearts to be receptive, our spirits to be willing as You preach through us and speak to us through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that You'll stir our hearts, Father, and draw us in close to You and close to the things that You're showing us today, Father, so You can accomplish with Your Word, both in the lives of those that are saved and also in the lives of those that are lost, those things, Father, that will bring glory to You, salvation to the lost, and edification to Your dear saints. And we ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in this particular psalm, David is crying out to the Lord for help. And it's not personal help. The trouble is that he sees something going on in his time that is very, very difficult. He says, "The godly man ceaseth." And you know something, when you look around in your country today, you're seeing, and in the world, you're seeing a lot of the similar thing. You're seeing that godly men are ceasing. He says, "The faithful fail from among the children of men," indicating that perhaps they were faithful at some point, and now they're failing, or that as children growing up, they never even learned and developed any kind of character of faithfulness. God wants men and women who are faithful. And but you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that faithful people are hard to find. Every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now, for Solomon to say that indicates that looking around through a lot of men who are talking about how good they are, he was trying to find somebody who was faithful, and he says, you know, that's hard to find, but a faithful man, who can find? And so we know that faithfulness is a rare commodity. It's a rare character trait, and yet it is one that is absolutely necessary to the church, to the work of God, even to a society and to a country. When you think about God, and you think about all of His characteristics, He's forbearing, He's loving kind, He's merciful, He's also just and equitable. But when you think about God, one of the things that keeps showing up in the Bible regarding His character is that He is faithful. And faithfulness is one of really the most outstanding characteristics of God. We could turn to passages and I could show you God is faithful in certain places. I know of one in the New Testament that we quote from time to time. He says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He says, "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." God is faithful. What does that mean? You can count on Him. He said what He's going to do, and He's always true to His word, and He never violates His word, and so whatever He wrote down is exactly what He's going to do, and you can count on that. That's why we talk about the promises of God. That's why Israel today, in spite of the fact that they have still not received Jesus Christ as their Messiah, can still count on God fulfilling every promise that He made to that nation, regardless of the fact that there are preachers today who believe that God won't, because God said He will, and God is faithful to His word. Jesus is faithful. The Bible says that when He comes back on that white horse, you know, He's got a name, Faithful and True. Faithful and True. And the Word of God is faithful. I'll just read a passage for you. I didn't memorize the verse of Scripture, but just so that you see it from the Scripture, the Bible says, holding fast, watch it, the faithful word as he hath been taught. This Bible is faithful. It does exactly what it says it's going to do. Everything that's in here is going to be fulfilled, and many of the things that are in there have been fulfilled, and they've been fulfilled exactly the way that God said they would. There are people who have denied the inerrancy of Scripture. They've said, no, this thing isn't so. I remember just some of the cases, but one of them was they said, it can't be so. We've done a lot of archaeological work over in the Middle East, and we never found any nation or any remains of a nation called the Hittite nation. That's crazy, and they keep showing up in the Old Testament over and over again as if they were a great nation. But they kept digging in the sand and digging in the sand, and they got below what they call the tells and found an entire civilization. And it was the Hittite nation. That was in 1906, and they went, wow, all this time we believed the Bible wasn't true. What they find whenever they go through and do their archaeological or geological or scientific studies correctly, not science falsely so-called, they find out this Bible stands up every time as the truth, and these things confirm the truth. They don't deny the truth. When you look in the Bible, you know there are people that you know in the Bible very well. They're what you would call the fathers, or they're called, you know, they're the notable characters. People that don't know the Bible know these people. And you know, I'll tell you what, one of the reasons you know these people is because they were faithful. The Bible says of every person I'm going to name that he was faithful. Moses, Samuel, the faithful high priest, David, the faithful servant of Saul, the wise woman of Abel that had Sheba's head cut off and thrown over the wall, the temple workmen under Josiah and Jehoash who were responsible for completely cleansing and refurbishing the temple. Hanani, Nehemiah's brother. You knew him, right? Famous character. Abraham. Daniel. Timothy. Tychicus said of twice that he was faithful. Somebody that helped Paul. Epaphras. Onesimus, who had been the servant of Philemon and escaped and then was saved. Paul, the apostle. Silvanus and Antipas, the known and named martyr in the book of Revelation. About every one of these people that I named, or groups of people, and there are some more, I thought, well, if I've already gotten obscure with the people that were the workmen in the temple in Hanani, why should I grasp for somebody else that you don't know, right? But the thing that is noticeable about them, the thing that God pointed out about them, was that they were faithful. They were faithful. So he says here in our text, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. My question to you is, in Bible Believers Baptist Church, are you faithful? Or are you going to go as others have done and be those among the faithful that fail? Listen, we can't have godly men ceasing. People said about our country that it was a Christian nation founded on Christian principle, but it doesn't look like anything that it was when it first started. This doesn't appear to be the same country, but we are the offspring of those who, when it was considered to be great, are those that came from those that fought and those that developed and those that did those things that people say are great about this nation. And I know God's hand has at least up until now been on this country. But he says here, the godly man ceaseth. Are you going to be among those godly men that cease? He says, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Is your faith failing? Have you found in your own life that perhaps there was a time when you had more zeal for the Lord than you do today? That those things that are characteristic of God that are in you because you're the child of God have now begun to wane? We need to ask ourselves that question. We need to have an honest accountability before God today in this sermon of these things that He's going to show us and say, how am I doing? We need to have an evaluation. Employees have an evaluation annually to see how they're doing, to see whether they deserve a raise or deserve correction. We need to have an evaluation of our faithfulness, because if in David's day the faithful were failing among the children of men, you know the faithful are failing from among the children of God today. And if we don't analyze this, if we don't evaluate this, we may find ourselves in the same case. So keeping this text in mind, let's go to some scripture. Turn with me, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 2. You know the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. In verse 1 for the context, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, here it is, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There you go. That a man be found faithful, and it's not gender specific. All right, listen. You know what a stewardship is? A stewardship is something that has been entrusted to you, something you have to look after. Let's say that you go to work in a company, and there are several divisions. There's accounting, and there's inventory, and there's accounts receivable, there's shipping, and all that. And they have various, you know, large organization, and have various people working in these departments. If you are, let's say, in charge of accounts receivable, that's your stewardship. And it is your responsibility to make sure that the people who owe money to your company are paying their bills. That's an amen. That's a children's amen right there. Don't mistake that. When you hear them cry, that's an oh me. That was an amen right there. All right, so that's your stewardship. Your boss gives you a job description, gives you a responsibility, and then you are the one. You're the person who has to make sure that the people who owe that company money are paying their bills. If they don't pay the bills, that falls to your accountability, particularly if you're dropping the ball on enforcing the terms of the invoices and so forth whenever they got money from the company. Okay, that's a stewardship. And with God, there's also a stewardship. God has entrusted to your care certain things. You have been given certain things in stewardship by the Lord. And in here, Paul says, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And my question is, what are you doing with those things? Can you see anything in your life that God has given you charge of? If you're a Sunday school teacher, you have stewardship for that class. If you're a nursery worker, you have stewardship for those kids. If you work in the maintenance or cleaning of the building and the maintenance of the properties, and there are some folks that get involved in that, you have stewardship for that. If you're pastor of the church, you have stewardship for that. If you're the song leader, you have stewardship for that. There are a lot of people in here who have direct stewardship over things that are involved in this ministry. How you doing? How you doing in your stewardship? I mean, between you and God, you know, the Bible says when you go to work for an employer, you don't work for the man. You work as if you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. You do in the will of God from the heart. So in the church, there are responsibilities. How are you doing on that? Are you doing those just as well as they can? Can you stand before Christ and say, I have done with that stewardship the best that I can, if He were to call you into account for that today? All right, let me say this. Are there some things that the Lord wants to give you in stewardship that you don't do? That you think some about doing sometimes, but that you don't do? Now, I'll give you an example. And listen, this is an example of stewardship, so we're not going to preach a sermon over here on money, but you know, the Bible shows us that when a person receives income, part of that is the Lord's. It's called the tithe. How you doing in your stewardship over your tithe? Is the Lord getting... Do we need the baby to come back in here and amen? How you doing on that? I can signal to his mother if we need him. How you doing on that? Listen, you have a stewardship there. You have an accountability. God entrusted that to you to see that what you would do with it. And a lot of people say, well, no, that's not God, that's mine. You don't know how to interpret Scripture. What are you doing with those things that were trusted to you by God? Okay, you have children. That's your stewardship. How are you doing with those kids? Are you raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are they growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's your stewardship. Those people say, they say, oh, we're so thankful. God blessed us with another child. And they'll say, this offspring is an offspring of the Lord. God gave us this child. All right, then that's your stewardship. How are you doing in that department? And I'm not asking you to compare yourself with somebody else that's sitting next to you or the person that's speaking to you. You could say, well, I'm doing better than you did. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you before God, how's your stewardship over the things that God has given you? What are you doing with those things? Are you discharging your responsibilities faithfully? Does God see in you faithfulness to the things that He's given you to do? Now, you know, the way this works, and you'll hear a little bit more about it today, God, you know what God does? He gives you a little bit to see how you do with it. And then if you do well with that, He'll give you a little bit more. That's the way it works. That's the way stewardship works. He gives you a little bit to try out. That's the way it works in business. When they hire you into a large corporation, they don't hire you to run it. They hire you in the mail room. Back when they used to have mail rooms. Now it's all done by email, but they put you in a low place like that. See how you do. And if you do well, they give you promotion. And if you do well, they give you promotion. In the military, how do they do it? They start you out at the bottom and then they bring you through. They don't put you in, they don't bring you right out of boot camp and make you a general. I mean, that's what you want to be. But that's not what they do with you. They bring you in as a low-level officer and then they work you up. And each time you take on more responsibility, if you discharge your responsibilities faithfully, they give you more to do. How are you doing with your stewardship? Can God look at you and say, now right there is a faithful person? I'm telling you, if they're hard to find and if they fail from among the children of men, the likelihood is that we've got a good number of people here that could be more faithful than they are, but they hadn't considered their stewardship. Well, that's why we do the evaluation. You know, an evaluation, when you do an employee evaluation and you sit there and say, okay, now you need to get better in this area, that's not to fire the employee. I mean, sometimes it is, but if they're really bad, but it's to encourage the employee. Next year when we do this evaluation, I expect to see an improvement in this area. How are you doing with your stewardship? Let's go to something else. 2 Timothy 2:2. You get the idea. In other words, we could camp out right there and just preach the whole sermon on that one thing, but there are a couple of other areas we want to look at. 2 Timothy 2:2. Some of you have memorized this verse of Scripture. Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, Thou therefore, my son. Boy, that's a close relationship. Timothy wasn't his son literally, but he was his son in the faith. Spiritual father. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch it. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. My first question was, what have you been doing with the things in your stewardship? My second question is, what have you been doing with the things you've been taught? He says here, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Listen, there are times in my life as a pastor where I actually have one-on-one discipleship with individuals in the church. I've got that going on right now. There are times when people come and we give them a little extra training. But may I tell you, most of your teaching is done right here. It's done here Sunday morning in Sunday school. It's done right now. It's done Sunday evening. It's done on Wednesday evening. It's done in the Bible study on Monday night. Sometimes there was a period for almost 2 years where we were teaching a group of about 9 men every week, except for just a little times off here and there. We taught them every week. And you know what we were doing? We were taking, Tony, Randy, and I, we were taking the things that we had learned and we were teaching those to men. This is what you're learning right now. And let me tell you, you got to get this in perspective here. I'm not going to say what I'm going to say to boast. Get the point of what I'm getting ready to say. What you're learning in the Sunday school class, what you learn in the sermons, what you learn in the Bible studies, what you learn in the council, what you learn in the discipleship, what you've learned in the Bible studies that we have either in the home or here at the church. Listen, we have men in this church who have gone through the Bible Doctrine Institute. That's a 3-year course of study that's correspondence to prepare people for the ministry, to give them an education of the things. And here is what I'm hearing from the men who are in that or who have graduated from the Bible Doctrine Institute. We didn't learn anything we hadn't heard before in Sunday school and church. Now that I'm not saying that to boast. Here's what I'm saying. Because what they got is they got confirmation that the things that they were learning here are the things that you would learn if you were in a Bible institute. I say that to say this. You have been given some good stuff. You've been given some really good stuff. My question to you is, what have you been doing with it? See, because Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are going to be able to do something with it. Who shall be able to teach others also? Are you a reservoir? That it all just comes in and stays? I know what happens in reservoirs because I've tried that. It comes in and it stays for a while, but then it evaporates. And you're like, you know, I used to know where that verse was. I used to know that, but I can't quite remember that. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You and I have a responsibility to study this book that's written to everybody. And when something like this has been committed to you, you have a responsibility to do something with it. What you've been doing with what you've been taught. Well, I mean, at the minimum, what you ought to be doing is you ought to be living by it. I mean, if it's true, you ought to be living by it. You know something, when I first got saved, I didn't read the Bible and I went to church for a while and you know how it goes. If you don't read the Bible, you don't grow. And then later on I started reading the Bible, you know the story, and I started reading and studying the Bible and reading and studying the Bible. And you know what? I told Ann after that, for a particular time, I said, you know something? If I had been reading and following what this Bible says, I would have been twice as good a banker as I had been up to this point. And you would be a better law enforcement officer, you would be a better contractor, you would be a better pharmacist, you would be a better dad, you'd be a better mother, you'd be a better teacher, you'd be a better anything, employee, employer. You follow what the, listen, we're doing a discipleship lesson right now and the guy, we've gone through 14 lessons in discipleship, 14 separate times. We spent about an hour and a half together, one-on-one, going through this Bible. And you know what he said to me the last time when we finished up the 14th lesson? He goes, you know, a lot of people look at the Bible as a can't-do book. You can't do this and you can't do that. They look at it as a can't-do book. He said, you know what I found out about the Bible? This is the most practical book in the universe. It tells you how to live. And that's absolutely right. All right, so the least that you can do with the things that you've been taught is live by them. Has your life changed? Are you doing things today differently than you did 2 or 4 or 8 years ago? Has it had any effect on your life at all? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, he says, commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There are lots of parents here with kids in your house. Do you ever sit down with a Bible and teach your children anything about the Lord? Or do you expect the Sunday school teacher to do all that for you? What have you done with what you've been taught? Have you ever thought that maybe a neighbor of yours might actually enjoy a meal at your house? So you might have an opportunity to tell them a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not telling you, I am. I'm telling you, do something with it. What have you done with it? I tell you what, you have received good food. I'm very confident of that. I received good food. You know what happened? I went to a Bible college. I graduated in 1992, so I've been doing this full-time 24 years, and I was doing it some before I went. So almost a quarter of a century. Wow, that's pretty cool. August of 2017, quarter century, doing this full-time. But you know what I've done? I think I'm trying to be a faithful steward of what I've been taught. Get on the radio, do these lessons, teach these Bible studies, do it one-on-one. Don't be a reservoir, be a river. Be a river. Get it and give it somebody else. If it's good. People, I used to tell jokes. I still tell some, but everybody who was here on Wednesday night, keep your mouth shut. What did the buffalo say when his son went off to college? Bye, son. See, I don't tell them as much anymore because I don't tell them so well. Some of y'all were here on a Wednesday night when I gave you a poem that I heard when I was at a conference. Oh, to dwell above with the saints we love, that will be glory. To dwell below with the saints we know, that's a different story. You say, how do you remember those things? Listen. How do you remember those things? I repeat them. How do you learn what you've been taught? You repeat it. How are you doing with your stewardship? Are you faithful? Would God look down and say, now there's a faithful person right there. I can trust him with, he's doing a good job of teaching the kids. I think I'll get him to teach a Sunday school class. Can he do that with you? All right, look with me in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Having fun yet? I'm thoroughly enjoying the words of God. All right, Luke chapter 19, we have this parable of the pounds. What are we looking for? He says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Don't fail. Don't fail. Be faithful. Be faithful in your stewardship. Be faithful with the things you've been taught. Now, how you been doing with this? Luke chapter 19, look at verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who do you think this is? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Okay. And he called his 10 servants. Why 10? Well, if you do numerology, they say 10 is the number of Gentiles, and the bride of Christ is a Gentile bride. Predominantly, the gospel came over to the Gentiles when the Jews rejected it back there during the preaching of Paul. There are Jews, and I think probably still many, that are getting saved, not in great numbers, but it 10 servants, so it says it's directed toward the church. He called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So everybody got the same pound, right? All right, and he says, but his citizens hated him. So those are people that are lost who won't trust the Lord. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the great case with most of the people concerning Jesus Christ. It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, and he will, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been, what's the next word? Faithful. That's what we're talking about today. In a very little have thou authority over 10 cities. You see how when you do well with a little bit, you get more? The second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. When he said likewise to him, you can be sure that he also complimented him on his faithfulness, because that's what he had said to the first servant, and he gave him 5 cities. He gave him authority in accordance with how much return was given on the pound. 10 pounds, 10 cities, 5 pounds, 5 cities. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept and laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Isn't that interesting? In verse 24, that was never the pound of the man that received the pound in the first place. It was the pound of the nobleman. But after the accounting, the servant gets to keep the 10 pounds and gets the pound from the other guy that didn't work. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. So he gets the 10 pounds and the 10 cities. And none of it was his to begin with. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So the wicked who die without the Lord Jesus Christ get slain. Those that had a pound didn't do anything with it. They get their pound taken away, and the guy that made 10 pounds, the one that was the most faithful, or the produced the most with his pound, he gets 10 pounds. And the pound from the guy that wouldn't work. What's the pound? Well, this is not a lesson on the pound. I already did one of those. Let me just suffice to you to say that whatever it is, and I believe it's faith, it could be some other things, but it's faith. Every one of us, when we got saved, was given a measure of faith. Everybody in this room that's saved received a measure of faith. All right, so God has given you your pound. And now He expects you until Jesus comes back to do something with that pound you've been given, something with that faith that you've been given that increases His return on what He gave you. Because it's not for you, it's for Him. And so, you know, you could say, well, then that person needs to go out and win 10 souls and all that. I don't think it's limited. I don't think it's limited. I think what it is that faith is in you. It's a measure of faith. There are different gifts given by the Spirit of God to accomplish that thing that God wanted to accomplish in your life to its maximum return for His benefit, to the glory of God. My question to you is, what have you done with your pound? And some people say, well, I put it in a napkin. When it was talents in the other parable in Matthew 25, that guy hid it in the earth. Well, one guy, it was all about the food, napkin. And with the other guy, it was all about earthly matters. He took care of everything down here. Now listen. You have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. I am aware of that. I've been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. I'm aware of that. And so we all have a function in that body to do something. And we don't have to rely upon our own ability or our own talent or our own personality to make that happen. God has given us a measure of something to accomplish what it is He wants to do. And He expects that thing to produce and reproduce. What have you done with yours? And I'll tell you what, man, there are a lot of people today that have hid their pound in a napkin. They are afraid to step out and do anything for God. They just say, if I go along for the ride, you know what? If this is right, it's faith. People who faithfully attend church but don't do anything for the Lord, thank God for you. At least you put your money in the bank. Something. You know, the sad thing was when I first got saved, it seemed like the preachers preached continuously on giving and church attendance. That's minimum. That's just putting your money in the bank. So God can have something back on usury when He returns. He's looking for more than that. If He's going to give you authority over five cities, it's not going to be for sitting attentively in church when the doors are open. I'm glad you're here. I don't want you to feel bad about that. There's more to the Christian life than warming a pew. It's okay, I'm talking to you. You know, a lot of times when we preach on attendance, we preach to the people who aren't here. So I figure, why not preach to the people who are here? You got to do more than... Amen. It's not going to do them any good. Bless God, you ought to be in church more often. I'm here. I remember one Wednesday night years ago in Beeville, we just had a smattering of people. I said, man, where is everybody? One of the guys really got offended, and he shot back. He said, preacher, we are here. I said, bless God, that's right, boy. Be happy for the ones you got, amen? I'm happy that you're here. I really am. It makes me glad when I see you and I rejoice. It's a whole lot easier than preaching to an empty room, I guarantee you. But there's more to the Christian life than an offering and warming a pew. If you're going to have authority over some cities, you're going to have to stand before that mirror and stand before God and say, how am I doing on that pound that God gave me? Is He getting any return out of this vessel at all? It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Is He? I'm telling you what, man, if He's not, the faithful fail from among the children of men. That's a strange thing. You can be in church and you can be a napkin hider, a pound hider. We don't want that, do we? We don't want that, do we, really? You say, well, what do I do? You know what I found in every case when it comes to that? Lord, you gave me the pound, and Lord, you are the boss. My knees are on the floor. I am a living sacrifice. You call the shot, and I'll do it. Amen. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to give them the job to do. I've just seen when people are like that, what happens is if it involves activity in the church, I'm telling you that the need arises and the person is there, and there's no struggle in that thing at all. None. But he's looking for a return. What have you done with your pound? All right, let's look at something else. 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12. This is very similar, and just so we won't belabor the point here, but this is really, really, really something. 1 Timothy 1:12. Let's read verse 11 for the context. 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, there's that word, putting me into the ministry. You know why Paul was the chosen vessel of God to preach to the Jews and Gentiles, to preach to kings? You know why he was? Because he's faithful. God gave him that because God looked at that man and said, there is a man who at all costs will do whatever he's told to do. He was obeying the authorities for whom he worked before he got saved. He was on a mission to go up to Damascus to round up more Christians to continue the work that had started down in Jerusalem. And God said, that man right there is full of zeal. That man will do anything he's told. That's the man I want. He went down there, appeared to him. Paul got saved and he said, okay, get busy. And I mean, just as soon as the fog cleared from his eyes and he had been baptized, he started preaching Jesus Christ, and he preached him until the day he died. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. You know something? You've got a ministry. You have a ministry. You have a ministry of some sort. I love what Brother Sutek said the other day when he was here on Sunday night. He said, ministry is life and life is ministry. And I agree with that. For a Christian, you have somebody to whom you can minister. Listen, there are people that minister to their neighbors. They minister to people that are widows. They minister to people that are in nursing homes. They minister to people who that work for them. They minister to people that they work with. They have all kinds of ways to minister. And Paul was given a ministry. So it sounds much like what we've seen, but I just want you to see in that context, look at it. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Paul said, I'm not doing this of my own power. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By His grace, I labored more abundantly than they all. God enabled him. Why? That He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Would you like to be in the ministry? Would you like to be in the ministry? Boy, there are a lot of people. Look, I remember the day when I was sitting right here where you are. And I sit here often when there's another preacher. I'm sitting right here and I'm watching that guy up there preaching. I'm going, boy, I wish I could do that. And the Lord enabled me. And He put me in the ministry. He that desireth the office of a bishop desireth the good work. I wanted it. God said, okay, there you go. You know something? There are people out there right now that sit there. I know this is going on in your heart. Say, boy, I'd like to be in the ministry. Man, I wish I could do that. You got to be faithful. That's the key. Be faithful. If you're faithful, God can do something with you. If you're not faithful, you're not going any further than where you are right now. Because He won't enable you and He won't put you into the ministry. And if you get into the ministry and you want to be in the ministry, but you're not faithful, you're going to make a mess. Stay out. Amen. Off limits, don't go there. Go do something else. We'd love to see God call young men into the ministry. I mean full time. Young women to be faithful to husbands in the ministry. Love to see that. Love to see that. And helping. Christine McLaughlin, young lady in Ivory Coast, a missionary, medical missionary, single woman, serving, God using her to open doors into villages where the gospel can't go without that opening. Fabulous. Fabulous. She's faithful. She's faithful. Do you want to get into the ministry? Then you better be faithful. What does that mean? Do everything your parents tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, just the way they tell you to do it, without question, without excuse. Do everything your preacher tells you to do. Listen very carefully. As much as he tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, the way he tells you to do it, without excuse. That's what you do. And when you do that, God says, okay, I'll give you the ability to do a little more. And when you don't, and if you push it from there, tilt, doesn't work. You know, he says here in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I just want to wrap it up with this. What have you done with the gospel? What have you done with the gospel? Committed to your trust. Today, Lord willing, 50 of us will be next door sowing seed of the Word of God. May I tell you something? Listen, be faithful. Be faithful. You said, I'm going to be there. You're on a team. You have an opportunity. There'll be excuses to come up from time to time. No excuse. Be faithful. Why? You've got the gospel. You're saved. A lot of people don't have the gospel. They need the gospel. Take what's been given to your trust and let somebody else know how to be saved. I love it that on Halloween, which was that, what was that, Monday night? Had a bunch of you grab a bunch of tracks that were out there on the track rack and run out of tracks before you ran out of candy. You know what you were doing? You're being faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful to the gospel by living according to what it says and by telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say this. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be faithful to the gospel? Trust Him. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ is buried for you. Jesus Christ rose again the third day for you. He is the only way you're going to get to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to go to heaven? Trust Him. That's how to be faithful to the gospel. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you get it, tell somebody else. He said, preacher, how are we going to wrap this up? Like this. Do you remember when we were going down the list of names of people that are famous in the Bible? And I told you about Abraham and Moses and all that. And I mentioned a guy named Onesimus. He made a mess of it. Onesimus. He was Philemon's servant. And Paul said, and he was not profitable unto thee. And he escaped, and somehow when he escaped, Paul met this runaway servant. And Paul led Onesimus to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life changed, and life changed so much that Paul said, Onesimus, my faithful servant. What am I saying? If you have been doing an evaluation of your life right now and you have found that you have not been faithful to the pound God's given you, not been faithful to the gospel that you've received, not been faithful to those things that you've been taught, not been faithful to that measure of faith that the Lord has given you, not been faithful to your stewardship, that can change. That can change. People say, boy, I'll tell you what, when you get saved, it doesn't change your character, but it will change your faithfulness if you will let God do in your life what He's showing you to do. It changed Onesimus. He was unprofitable, but he changed and he became profitable to me and to thee, Paul said, and became a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have done an evaluation or you do an evaluation when you get home, you say, man, Lord, I've done this evaluation before you. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I found myself unfaithful. Repent and become faithful. Let Him change that. Just say, I'm going to be like Onesimus and I'm not going to make a mess of us anymore. But do this the right way. Change that. Change that. If you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ and get saved. Without belaboring it anymore, just remember that parable of the pound. How you faithfully serve the Lord now determines how God rewards you in eternity from now on. There's a lot riding on this, and you better do it right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today for the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit will move in this invitation and accomplish what you want to do. And I'm asking you to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, listen, if you found that you've not been faithful, I'll tell you, I found it in my life. One of the best places I ever found to start straightening it up was come down here to this altar. There's already people here. Just come to the altar and say, okay, Lord, we're going to switch this. You showed it to me. We're going to switch this, and we're going to switch it now. It's a good thing to do, really. That's what Jesus Christ did. He died for you. You can present yourself to Him. It's a good place to do it. Do that when we sing the invitation to Him. If you're not saved here today, you really, you're making a mess of life until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, He's trustworthy. Anybody here today, raise a hand and say, preacher, I have not trusted Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? I didn't say anything else. Preacher, I have not trusted Jesus Christ. I want you to pray for me. And just raise your hand, put it right back down, and I'll pray for you. Father, You know the hearts of the people that are here, and some of these that are already at the altar I played during this invitation. Lord God, You will help us all so that the faithful don't fail from among the children of men in this church. And we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.